We come this morning in God's providence to 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. This is our fourth lesson in our study of 1 John. And we come to an old commandment made new in Jesus Christ. The commandment is, love one another. This is the great Christian truth given to us in our text. And the Apostle John is using his usual procedure by setting forth a great Christian truth and then drawing out the implications of that truth in Christian evidences. The great Christian truth is found in verses 7 and 8, and then the Christian evidences are found in verses 9, 10, and 11. And John does this, that is, John uses this particular procedure so that he might fulfill the purpose for writing this particular letter. This purpose is given to us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, where the Apostle John tells us, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you might know that you have eternal life." Now the Apostle John very specifically desires to see the Christian evidences heap up, pile up in our lives, so that in the end we will know that we have eternal life. And so this morning, we start once again with the great Christian truth that the Apostle John sets forth in the paragraph which is before us. That is 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And the great Christian truth is given to us in verses 7 and 8. "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." Yes, you see, the Apostle John is presenting an old commandment. And what is this old commandment? Well, we've already stated it. It is the commandment that we should love one another. The Apostle John picks up this old commandment from Leviticus chapter 19. And if you turn back in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 19 and verses 17 and 18, you will find this old commandment set forth by Moses. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. "You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Of course, there is the commandment which is set before us. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. But first of all, Moses sets forth the very opposite of love. "You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart." You are not to have hatred in your heart for your brother. You may reprove or correct your brother who is in known sin. In fact, this is the proper course of action for you to take. You are to reprove your brother or your sister who is in sin. But you are not to harbor hatred in your heart for that brother or sister. That individual may have sinned against you, but you should not incur sin because of what they have done. And you do incur sin if the result of their sin against you is that you bear hatred in your heart against them. Jesus was not like this. Jesus did not take action against those who crucified him, for example. Jesus did not revile when reviled, and he did not utter any threats. You know, it's very common for us when someone does something to us that we'll say to them, "I'll get you for that." And we bear hatred in our hearts. Hatred is also worked out in bearing a grudge. That is, we have strong feelings of resentment and malice against the individual who may have done something against us. We carry a chip on our shoulder and we dare that individual to knock that chip off, to give us an excuse to lash out against them. We bear ill will against that individual. And when something happens to that individual or they make a mistake, what do? We laugh. We rejoice in their error. We rejoice in their sin. No, my friends, we are not to bear hatred in our hearts. We are not to take vengeance. We are not to bear a grudge. To do so is to incur sin. But this particular text says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." John is reminding his readers in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7 of this old commandment given to us by Moses. But this commandment is also made new. And how is the commandment made new? It is made new in Jesus Christ. Let's look at that. Turn, if you will, with me, please, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 13. The Gospel of John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The commandment is new in Jesus Christ because it is newly exemplified in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus said to his disciple, "I have called you my friends." Imagine this. Turn from enemies of God, those who love the world, to friends of God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself does this by his dying on the cross. "Greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus does this as he dies on the cross and bears the penalty due to people like you and me, due to his disciples for their sin. In this context, I am reminded of General Schwarzkopf, the commander of Operation Desert Storm. General Schwarzkopf, when he was a lieutenant colonel in Vietnam, found himself in a situation where a number of his men were trapped in a minefield. And General Schwarzkopf went into that minefield to lead those men out of the minefield at the risk of his own life. Those men in the minefield were petrified, afraid to move. But then Lieutenant Colonel Schwarzkopf went into the minefield and led them out. Surely there was a love in his heart for those men who were in jeopardy. Surely Jesus Christ has love in his heart for us, because we are in jeopardy. We are in jeopardy of losing our eternal souls in hell. And so Jesus Christ gives his life as a ransom payment for many, for people like you and me. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." What an example Jesus Christ sets for us, and what a challenge Jesus Christ gives to us, that we should follow in his steps and love one another as he has loved us. And this means that we dare not bear grudges, we dare not take vengeance, we dare not wear our feelings on our shirt sleeves. No, we must love one another. We must bear one another's burdens. This is the command of God. And Jesus Christ tells us that this is the distinguishing mark of Christ's disciples, of His disciples. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It is this truth which John has reference to in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. This brings us then to the Christian evidences outlined by the Apostle John in verses 9 through 11, having set forth this great Christian truth that we are to love one another. John sets forth the implications, the clear implications of this Christian truth. Verse 9, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. One of the things John is telling us here is that our lives must conform to our confession. So you say that you are in the light. Remember this, my friends, God is light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, and this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God is all goodness, God is all purity, God is all love. And you say that you are walking in the light. Then what must your conduct and deportment be? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. One of the things that walking in the light brings to us is fellowship. Fellowship with one another. And another thing that walking in the light brings to us is an emulation of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2 and verse 6. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. And what does this mean? That you love your brother. That you are willing to lay down your life for your brother. But again, verse 9 in our text says, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. You see, the situation is this. You say that you walk in the light, but at the same time you hate your brother. And who is your brother? Your brother is the person for whom Christ died. In other words, Christ loved this person. Christ died for this person. And because of Christ's love and Christ's death for this individual's sins are forgiven. Yet, you hate your brother or sister for whom Christ died. And you are bitter towards that person. Say it is someone in the church. And when that individual fails, as I said, or makes a mistake, as I said, you actually rejoice in that individual's sin or failure. What does this mean? Well, look at verse 9 again. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness. The evidence is that if you actually have hatred in your heart for the individual for whom Christ died, you are not in the light, but you are in darkness. Oh, dear friend, realize this situation. Realize the fact that if you are in darkness, you are not actually a Christian, but you are going in the opposite direction, and I therefore call you to repent and to turn away from the darkness. Repent of this malice and hatred which is in your heart. I'd like to show you an example from the Old Testament of this kind of hatred. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 12. 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 through 12. And it happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy and with musical instruments. And the women sang as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand. And Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped from his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Here is an amazing circumstance. David kills the Philistine Goliath, and he saves Israel. And the people of the land are appreciative of the work of David, but Saul isn't. Saul is jealous, and he hates David. He hates David to the point of desiring to murder him. And he does attempt to murder him. Does he rejoice in the good work of David? No. But hates David because of it. This is walking in darkness. And Saul was the anointed of the Lord. And Saul considered himself to be an individual who was walking with the Lord. But what does 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9 tell us? The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. Verse 10 continues the Christian evidences. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Do you genuinely love your brother? You should. Do you do good to that person as you would have that person do to you? Do you show this person honor? That's following the fifth commandment. Do you do all that you can to preserve the life of others? That's following the sixth commandment. Do you act to preserve the families of others within the congregation? Not to divide household members, but to hold household members together. That's keeping the seventh commandment. Do you help preserve the property of others? When you borrow something from someone else, do you return it? Do you encourage your children to return that which they have borrowed? This is keeping the eighth commandment. It's a manifestation of love. Do you preserve the integrity of others by not bearing false witness against them in the marketplace, by not gossiping? That's keeping the ninth commandment. It's a manifestation of love. And are you glad for all the good things that take place in the lives of those around you? That's keeping the tenth commandment. These are manifestations of love, and they are evidence of the fact that you do really walk in the light. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, You see, in the keeping of the Word of God, the love of God is perfected. But whoever keeps His Word in him, the love of God has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. You see, my friends, here is evidence heaped up in your life that you really know God, that you really have eternal life. Let's turn back in our Bibles again to 1 Samuel chapter 18, and this time the first part of that chapter that we read, 1 Samuel chapter 18, here's an example of love for one another. Now it came about, when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. And Saul took him that day, and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David, because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him, and gave it to David, and his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. And so David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered. And Saul set him over the men of war, and it was pleasing in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Here is Jonathan. Jonathan, who loves David as he loves himself. What is the commandment? The old commandment which is made new? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't know how you are, my friends, but I know how I am. I tend to love myself too much. And that's a fault and a sin on my part. But the commandment is that I am to love others at least as much as I love myself. And here is an example of this. In the son of Saul, Jonathan, who loves David as himself. And this prince gives to David his own robe and his own armor. And David goes out in the place of honor where Jonathan could have stood. And David receives honor from the people of Israel. That's love, my friends. And this kind of love, once again, is evidence of the fact that Jonathan is a true believer. And this kind of evidence in your life is evidence of the fact that you are a true believer. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But now John adds a warning in verse 11. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We have already seen that the person hating his brother is in darkness. But this particular verse tells us that such a person does not know where he is going. In other words, there is deception here. This deception is a blindness. The darkness has blinded his eyes. And you can say to such an individual, you cannot hate your brother and still really be a Christian. And that individual will say, I agree with you absolutely. This is what the Bible says. You can't hate an individual and really be a Christian. I know that's true. It's not only written in the Bible, but it's common sense. And at the very same time that this individual agrees with the text of Scripture and with common sense, this individual will bear a grudge, have malice in his or her heart against a Christian brother. and be absolutely blind to the fact that he or she is living contrary to the Word of God. Such a person does not realize where he or she is going because the darkness has blinded the eyes. I want to tell you something, my friends. This can happen to you and it can happen to me. And as the Word of God comes to you this morning, I must take heed and you must take heed to the fact that we are very capable of bearing hatred in our hearts and living contrary to the Word of God while believing we are walking in the light. That's the warning that is given to us. And so let's take heed to that warning and examine our hearts in accordance with this warning. Well, what is the purpose of John's letter? Once again, the purpose of John's letter is given in chapter 5 and verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. John is pulling no punches here. He wants you to know of a certainty that you have eternal life. And so he sets forth a great Christian truth. The Christian truth is that we are to love one another. You know that, and I know that. But the Christian life must also measure up to the Christian confession and the Christian truth. And so where does that leave you? Do you have hatred in your heart? The evidence then, my friend, is this. You are still in darkness. Oh, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, I call you to repent of that sin. And I call you to turn to Jesus Christ and trust in Him as the one who has given adequate payment for that sin of hatred. On the other hand, is there in fact love in your heart for others? Then this love is another evidence of the fact that you have eternal life. May God be pleased to fill your life and fill my life with this evidence of love, that we may know that we have eternal life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for these tough words of the Apostle John. Thank you, Father, that they come to us as the Word of God. And we pray, O Father, that if in any of our hearts we are bearing malice or hatred, you will forgive us as we repent of that malice and hatred. And O God, we pray that the evidences of love may flourish in our lives to the glory of God and to the enhancement of our knowledge that we have eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.